very strong commitment to ensure that our embassy project is sustained for all our partners who will yet watch. In a few hours' time, we will bless you in the name of Jesus. And if you are online right now and you have not yet subscribed to become an active, functional part of this apostolic community, I want to invite you to click on the link that the online pastor will provide so that you consider becoming a part of the community. We have set up pastoral lines for all online people. We have an online church, that's what I'm saying. And you can be a member of that online church. So you are enjoined to click on the link and fill the form. And when you so do, be committed to the things that you have filled to enable us to carry out administrative issues that will provide ministry access to many more people that have fallen out of alignment because of a lack of true apostolic leadership. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, yesterday we were talking about a call. A call. It's a critical thing for us to understand that God will never do anything upon the face of the earth except it builds it into a call. You need to also understand that believers are the infrastructure that God has to fulfill his plans upon the face of the earth. So if God wants to do something, the reason why it is called the body of Christ is because God, who is spirit, will have to possess that body. Just like now, I'm fully possessed by the Holy Ghost. He has to possess that body in order for him to begin to instruct that body, instruct that personality, instruct the body of believers in a certain territory about the plans that he has for that territory. That's how the church marches on. If we go to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and we begin to study the graphic illustration of the end time army that is displayed in that book, you will find that it's a strange army, because the Bible says everyone shall walk in his own ways. The Bible also says everyone shall walk in his own path, and a path happens to be a road that one person can walk on part time. So the kind of administration that God has covers the marching orders of the Lord for a ministry, for instance. He also covers the marching orders of the Lord for individuals within the context in which they have been domiciled. Your call is critical. It is part of a major program, a bigger program that is bigger than you, that is bigger than your ancestors. And God gives you a fragment of it and makes that your preoccupation. And the thing about your call is that if you become faithful to that call, God will add the calling of unfaithful people to you. So the proof that you are a resourceful son in the house of God is that God keeps giving you additional responsibility. And the only thing that will make God give you additional responsibility is that you have secured capacity from the seat of Christ within your heart to be able to deploy that function consistently and faithfully. It means that's the reason why God gives you more responsibility, because more responsibility is going to put you under pressure to secure the release of grace from the same command tower, even the seat of Christ within your heart, until you come to a point where If not by grace, you cannot do the things that you have started doing. You become a slave of God. You have come to a point of no return because you are using heaven's resources to actualize and prosecute God's plan for your generation. Hallelujah. You see, the deeper you go into God, the more dependent on God you will become. Because God is going to flood you with so many responsibilities that you don't have the capacity in yourself to furnish. You will need to depend on Him. For instance, for me, it's not difficult for me to find a new thing in the Bible. If I want something new, that I will come and stay here, and all of you will be bamboozled, and then I bring another one tomorrow, I bring another one next tomorrow. It's not new, because I have the grace for that. Do you understand? What is difficult for me is to find out what God is saying. For many years in my teaching ministry, I was, because of the grace of revelation that God gave me, my point, my emphasis in teaching is to make sure that I say things that people have never seen in the Bible. I hope you know that kind of service is a showmanship. It is to my own glory, and there's no reward for that. When I began to mature in my walk with God, I found out that that was rubbish. And my preoccupation now is to say what God is saying, is to teach what God is teaching the body. That's the difficult part. Finding new things in the Bible for me is not, it's not difficult. But saying what God is saying and developing capacity to be able to build what God is building. That is my preoccupation. In fact, if you want to build one subject, it might take 2 weeks away from your life. Because you want to build accurately. For instance, the subject of heaven and hell, 635 scriptures is what contains all the truth about heaven and hell in the Bible. Now, if you are going to be an accurate teacher, you are going to have to read these 635 scriptures, not just the verses. You will read 6 verses before, 6 verses after, for 635 verses of the Bible, in order for you to understand the whole body of truth that surrounds that particular issue. Are you with me? Now, if you don't labor that way, you cannot build. You'll be deficient of what it takes to be a builder. And that's part of my assignment, to build. And you will discover that you will be spent trying to fulfill your assignment. And I said yesterday that when human beings want to spend, they spend money. And when God wants to spend, what does He spend? He spends men. So we try to define what a call is. So God will spend you. That's what I'm talking about. I know it looks harsh, but that's the truth. If I'm 80 years old and God gives me life, I will still be teaching. And that time, because of my age, it will be stronger than what I'm doing now. Because I won't be afraid of you that time. I'll still be teaching until the day breath ceases to be my nostrils. That is my preoccupation. That is, your call is the definition of your life, is the meaning of your life. Outside of your call, your life is meaningless. It is worthless. There is no reason to be here. You know, there's this guy those days when I was working at the depot in Makurdi here. The guy, my colleagues from the depot are here. Hallelujah. So the guy was a deal man, running things, running this, running that. So like in a month, he can make like $2 million with deals. And then he gathered some money that time that this Honda Accord. Oh my God. What did they call that one? After end of discussion, then we have what? Discussion continues then. The other one. Evil spirit. Evil spirit, that one. That's when that car came out. And that car was 5.6 million that time. So he now bought that car. So then I said, young man, you don't have a house of your own. You are still renting. and you are buying a car. You can't live in a car, but you can live in a house. He said, his answer, because I was hearing his response, his answer was, how long do you think I'm going to live that you don't want me to enjoy this one now? And do you know, he died the next week. And it was the car they sold to take care of the cost of his burial. So that car he bought was in preparation for his burial. Life has no meaning outside of your core. You must understand that. So we now try to sum up, okay, all the deals, everything that he was running, he had no meaning. He only used it to buy insurance policy for his grave items. It was a car they sold, and they were desperately looking for a buyer, because even though he was buying a car, his wife didn't have any money. He was enjoying his life. Say, I'm a young guy. How long will I live? I was hearing two people speaking, and one was saying, they were speaking my language, and they didn't know that I'm from there. Hallelujah. One said he is going to do money. Rich one money. Now he's going to give his wife. Now what is life without money? The other one, yes. Now he's going to give his wife. If it's his wife they're asking for, you give the wife. Because what is life? What is life without money? The other man say he doesn't have the mind though to give anybody. But he believes that life has no meaning without money. See, look. Meanwhile, he now canceled the other one that he has heard that people that use people to do money, they don't live long. He said, okay, this life is living right. This life. Let me tell you something and hear it very well. Your call existed before you were formed in your mother's womb. Every other thing you do only strikes a chord in time, but it's the fulfillment of your call that strikes a chord in eternity. Your call has more meaning beyond time. Just in case you have not discovered it, you are still in limbo. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have gathered. Hallelujah. Your call is your meaning. So there were two definitions of what a call was, or what a call is, that we gave yesterday. Number one, what's a call? It's a policy direction from what? From heaven. So God's expectation for your life, the one he commits to you, it's a small part of a big plan that is weaving out in your generation. It's a policy direction from heaven. If all of our calls and everybody's call on earth is put together, you will see that the intention of the call is to enthrone the government of Christ in a certain place, on a certain platform, among a certain people. It always has this appendage of extending the dominion of God, of extending the influence of the Lord upon the face of the earth. That's the nature of a call. It is the meaning of your life. Without a call, your life has no meaning. Think about it. For a woman, you want to get married. I know, desperately. Then when you now get married, you now discover that marriage is, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You live one day at a time. And if your option of a woman is a fair one, when you live for 6 months together, you will not notice that she's fair anymore. What will keep you going is not what attracted you to her. What will keep you going, if you are a noble man, is going to be covenant. That covenant that you have, first of all, with God. There are many things you want to do, but you'll be constrained by God. The anger of your grandfather is still in you, and it will be seeking occasion to find expression. But if God has a firm grip on you, It is God that will constrain you not to do many things. Are you with me? Good. You will now discover that how to stay in marriage is different from how you got into it. To stay in it, you will need to be a man that is honorable. To stay in it, you will need to be a man that fears God. If not, you will do terrible things. Then you will now discover that it is a heart of covenant. God wants to teach us how to keep covenant. That's why he brought marriage. Because that person that you are going to be in covenant with is not going to be perfect. The person will be saying things that you don't want the person to say. The person, when you want to be quiet, you just want to be quiet. The person will just bring and say, hey! Jesus. I'm admonishing all our brethren, young brothers. You know when people come to the altar, what's that song that they sing again? The normal wedding song that they dance and come to the altar. We that are old, when we stand, no miracle happens here. No miracle. As you are coming with your gown, nothing, no miracle will take place here. Miracles don't happen at the marriage altar. You will need more than a miracle to survive a marriage. You will need to learn the ways of God, that God that keeps covenant. You will have so many reasons for you to leave the woman and go and look for another one. In fact, a time will come where everything she is, it will be ugly. And everything outside, it will be wonderful. The reason why you will not be outside is because of your, a cord from heaven binds your heart. And yes, and that is how you are going to live hanging on that cord as long as you are married. So you entered, you thought you were, you knew what you wanted, you entered, then you now survive by a cord. Nothing makes meaning that is not within purpose. Then when you overcome that inertia of the first dealings in your marriage and you survive it, and I pray you do survive it, then you will now discover that the reason why two of you came together is to prosecute a corporate purpose, and that purpose is God that gives it. And when you discover that purpose, it is not a purpose that your flesh likes, because for my own God told me that this marriage I'm entering into, it's going to be an opportunity for several people to be discipled close range. You understand that? Close range. That means people will stay with you. People will eat what you are eating. People will see you in the morning and then learn from your example. That's why I don't have any secret. Because people know everything about me. We were doing IEC and I counted the people that were in my house. There were 69. Those 69 people ate from my kitchen. And some of the IECs, if we are not so lucky, many plates will break and cups as a sign that a multitude came. So the reason, when we were building the house and we say we're building it, and God was giving us some idea of what the house would be for, God was not thinking of our convenience. He wasn't thinking of maybe husband and wife will come and snap picture under light. He was thinking of how his kingdom will profit. People will enter into your space and inconvenience you because of it. So anytime you start becoming self-centered, self-seeking, it is because you have veered off from the pool of the calling. You are now on a journey of your own devising. Because everything that God brings your way, you will never know the joy that is in it until it becomes an object through which many other brethren can be served. Are you with me? That's how they call him. That's how he operates. I don't know. Okay, I will not be able to say this here. So let me keep quiet. Amen? People that other people will cast away, if that person passes like this, and the compassion of God in my heart shines on that person, that's all. That's all I need. It means God is saying that this person, take care of this person. And he will not tell me twice before I begin to obey. Do you understand? I don't do it every day, but if him, because me, I'm not good. The person that is good is the one inside of me. Just in case I did something and I say, I'm a good man, you are wrong. It is not me that is good. It is him that is inside of me that manifested that thing. It's just that I'm yielded to him. So it was his way you saw. A call will make your emphasis go beyond self. It will go to the other person. The other person will become very important because you'll be carrying the heart of God concerning that person. You, maybe we didn't tell you, Christianity is a journey of sacrifice. As you are growing, I know you don't like this. You would have wanted me to say, next week, a miracle. You know all of that? That is gimmick. It's a lie. Actually? Oh, you don't understand. I'm telling you that is a lie. 1,000 times, because my adventure in the Bible began from the age of 7. We were some of the favored people that are disciples of Scripture Union. You know, I have a release to talk to you. We were disciples. But if you know how much Scripture I knew at the age of 13, many old people don't know. At the age of 13, because there was this group, I don't know if they are still here, there was this group in the U.S., the Navigators. Those were the guys that had a mnemonic on how to memorize Scriptures. So it was the tools from the Navigator ministry that we were using. I could deliver Scriptures because they had a way that they taught us how to cram Scripture. The journey began from the age of 7. Yes. So it was the Scripture Union people that exposed us to the Navigators. And were some of the first set of children that were exposed to that thing. That was where my love for the Bible began. I began personal Bible study at the age of 12. I started using concordances, commentaries, dates, annotated reference Bible before I was 20. At the age of 17, how many times did I study the Bible through and through? So I knew that my destiny was in that book. Are you with me? You know what troubles me? When I study the book and I come out and I probably attend a service somewhere, I know that this person is not preaching this book. That's what I discovered. This person is doing something. He's doing, I don't know the name of what he's doing, but he's not preaching this book. The spirit of the ancestors that bore this testimony is not found in what he's bearing witness about. I knew there was a challenge. Until God gave me the responsibility to be a carrier of truth. And the Lord told me that if we infuse enough truth into the body of Christ, that falsehood will die a natural death. A man that has become false, if you begin to preach truth around him, he will think that you are trying to destroy his ministry. And because he doesn't know the Lord, he will resort to very strange ways to attempt to shut you down. So if God has not called you to do the kind of thing he has called me to do, you will be amazed when you see people trying to kill you. But you know what? I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death. So, if you are afraid of death, there are several callings you will not be able to carry. I know that my value in heaven is tied to the assignment that God has given me. Even if it's a type that is an assignment that is in a place where the battle is raging. I don't have any other assignment. That's what I will live and die doing. Are you with me? A young man came the other day and he said God has sent him to Taraba. Prayed for him. The hand of God should be strong on his life. 2 years later, I saw him back in my court. I said, what are you doing here? He said, that place is so hard. You know what it, he doesn't know what a call is. We know it is hard. The mortar that sent you there, the only way you will escape is you die there. That's how, understand there is no other option for you. That one God has told you, that is the only one he will give you. God doesn't use words the way we do. He's still alive and he has left the field. Obviously, he doesn't understand what a call is. He thinks it's an option. So he goes to seek out possibilities that are easier, as it were, from what he believes that God has assigned him to do. I've even seen senior ministers. That my mentor that I told you, that's a prophet, he told me that his boarding is for Nasarawa State. That anytime he's driving and drives past the place, it's as if, hi. Then he now had an invitation to preach in South Africa. And when he took the invitation, because those days, he was one of the few prophets in Nigeria that could call people's names in word of knowledge. Before the ones you know now started, he used to do that in the village. So when he got to South Africa, he began to call people's name, their native name. You, this, that's how he got invitations to 27 countries. And he preached for 2 years without coming back home. May the Lord give you understanding. Now, I'm telling you fact. Until today, he is not home. Yes, he is not home. He has not come to Nasarawa till today. You see, the fact that God sent you to Nasarawa doesn't mean that God doesn't know that what you have, what he has given you, can do something in Lagos. Do you know how many people have told me that, see, you are dying in my country? What are you doing here? People that I respect, what are you doing here? Oh my God. Can you please go and take your family and go to Abuja? Young man, there is no such option. Are you with me? No such option. Meanwhile, I like the place, this place. We will stay here until the flyover on this road is built. Hallelujah. A call. Not a call from a human, a call from an immortal. Die there. The pastor called me and said, I'm discouraged. No, that's not an option. No, in a call. I will still be here. So whether you are discouraged, so manage your emotions. Manage it. The fact that you are discouraged will make God reallocate you. So manage it. It's not one of the options. A man that is dressed right can work with electricity. You see, have you seen those NEPA staff? There are some things they wear they are not afraid of. If you are dressed right, you can work with electricity. So get your dressing on, so that you walk in the terrain that God has domiciled. Now, number three. Your call is the major factor that will influence your fate before the judgment seat of Christ. Your call is the major factor. You know, it came from eternity. It came before you were formed in your mother's womb, and the implication will transcend time. You know, one of the things that happened to the gospel of our time, is that the average preacher no longer tells people that there will be judgment after this life. So the preacher preaches as if the only thing that exists in this life is this life. So he doesn't equip people to be able to engage the seat of judgment on the other side. In my own opinion, I believe it's a calculated attempt to set people up. And I've seen all kinds of unrighteousness on the pulpit. The work of delivering the counsel of God is a noble task for trustworthy men. Because you can blot out the consciousness of the people you preach to the things that are weightier matters in the kingdom of God. Your calling is a major factor. You see, don't joke with something else. Not your calling. It's a major factor that will influence your faith before the judgment seat of Christ. I've heard many people speak about the judgment seat of Christ, especially pastors in the last 25 years. And most of them, when teaching about the judgment seat of Christ, it's a place for reward. That means you have already made it. I beg to differ. It is not just a place for reward, it's a place for rebuke. In fact, it is the judgment seat of... Let me give you a picture. Come with me. Are you there in Matthew? When we are done with this teaching on a call, I will take you back to salvation. Then we'll start this journey from the beginning. Salvation. We'll do some lectures on salvation. When we finish from salvation. Huh? I don't know how many days it will take us, but we will tarry there for a while. Your eyes will be open.
Amen.
Your eyes will be open.
Amen.
All right. Let's go. Matthew chapter 7. Are you there? Let me show. This is one of the snapshots of the judgment seat of Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll find out that it's in red. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Stop there. Are you here? Do you still remember that the Bible says that he that calleth upon the name of the Lord, what will be his portion? He shall be saved. So when you are hearing someone calling, Lord, Lord, this one is saved. So Jesus is saying, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Underlying will. At the end of the day, what will matter is whether you fulfilled the will of the Father. You notice that the word used for God here is Father. It means that these dealings with this individual is a dealing that proceeds from love. This aspect of the love of God is alien to the believer. The reason why God will judge is because he's a God of love. I know that contradicts, but his status in this scripture is Father. So not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It means that there are believers that are born again, but their preoccupation is not to do the will of his Father which is in heaven. And the reason why he also mentioned the location where his father is domiciled is because kingdom Christianity, the definition of kingdom Christianity is that that personality, that monarch in the third heavens will be the one that will regulate your life on it. Are you with me? That's kingdom Christianity. So before he does anything, he will check with the monarch. Meanwhile, that's not the prescription. That's not a discipleship model of the average believer. The average believer believes that he is here to use God to fulfill his own agenda. That's an inversion of the protocol. Don't think that the resultant effect of these two pathways is the same. Don't think so. One that is seeking God so that he can be aligned with God, so that everything about his life is an expression of God's government, of God's will. And another one is there, he's born again, and he identified God as father, but not father enough for him to obey him. So the guy is doing stuff. You will never know the difference until the judgment seat of Christ. All of them will be believers. And it will not be obvious that there's something terribly wrong, because wrong teaching has made such people convenient. And they don't know that God is not a prime minister. God is not a chancellor. God is not a president. God is a king. They don't know that. And when we are talking kingdom, the will of God is key. The will of God is key. The will of God is key. I had opportunities. Many opportunities. One of the opportunities I had was to live and work in Canada. But unfortunately for me, and unfortunately for the people that were trying to pave the way, I'd already found out what God's will for my life was, and that will was in Nigeria. You say I'm mad, seeing an opportunity to go to a place where the electrical system, where the transport system, where the health system and everything in the place works. You say I'm mad to want to stay in Demekwe, in Makurdi, because that's where I stayed. I stayed in Demekwe for four years. In that place where criminals dwell, I was there. Oh, you don't understand. Safety. What is safety? What's safety? Huh? Is it the absence of trouble? It's where the presence of God is domiciled. I can imagine how many people died in 9/11. And meanwhile, they were in the safest nation. But the safest nation was not safe for them. And there were people in that same tower that left 1 hour before it collapsed. Because the presence of God. Safety is where the presence is. And the presence is not there, you are not safe. Meanwhile, purpose is stronger than death. It's a very difficult thing for a man to die. Very difficult. Purpose is stronger than death. My father in the law in Zaria, I think it was, is it seven times? I don't know. Pardon me, I may not be accurate, but it's either 7 or 17 times the sons of the bondwoman tried to kill him. In one of the occasions, the spear pierced through the roof of his car and missed him narrowly. Yes, that's the kind of talk. I mean, close contact. Another time, they surrounded his house with jerry cans of fuel to burn it. And his daughter came and said, Baba, are you seeing what is happening? Baba said, it's just because you are not seeing the angels. When he told me the story, I told him, I will not do less. I will not do less. If you have done this, me, I will not do less. Because those guys were there for 7 hours. And after 7 hours, he didn't know what happened to them. There was confusion in the midst. Hallelujah. And they dispersed. I And then some of his friends came to him. The friends I'm talking about, you, all of you here know them. In fact, all of you know those friends. To tell him, what are you still doing here? Those his friends are people that Nigeria calls the greatest men of God in this country. Because one of them was his best man. So they ran to him and said, when will you leave this place? Baba said, if I had the slightest doubt of whether God wanted me to be here, I would have left long time ago. And then that great man of God that you know said, it is you that is not hearing. All these things happening to you, is it not a sign that God is telling you that? Now, these two, are you with me? These two levels of conviction means a whole lot in the kingdom. Because for someone else, a sign of hostility is a proof that God has left so he can relocate. For another person in the face of danger, he's there and he knows that it is God's great will for him to be manning this gate as the lamp of the north. Hallelujah. And I say that without missing words. He's the lamp of the north. Those kind of men, the reason why God gave them what he gave them is because they were servants of his kingdom. And I've seen the testimony, I've seen the Christian life modeled in the life of that man. I saw his family life, the way he treats his wife. I've seen the way the ministry is ordered. I've seen what an apostolic platform means. I cannot do less. Because if I do, submitting to such a man will affect me at the judgment seat of Christ. Because I saw the example and I decided to be a fraud. In my work with God, that's the most Christ-like man I've seen in Nigeria. You know, I've been around for some time. In terms of being Christ-like, I saw no one like that man. A call, sometimes it will lead you to a place where the battle is raging. But if you know that this is the only way where I can be on the right side, on the judgment seat of Christ, you know there's no option. Even if he leads us where the battle rages, we will march with hearts courageous after him. Today, ministry looks like an option. It looks like a style. And most of the times, our services lack gravity. And you come to a place, it looks like a club, a funfair center. Meanwhile, divinity locks in the mist. When that gravity is not there, you are already far away from alignment. We try to repackage it from the witness and the testimony of our ancestors in the scriptures, or the people that God used, whose testimonies are littered across the scriptures, were people that knew that it was a terrible thing to fall into the hand of God. So it was healthy for a believer, therefore, to have the fear of God in his heart. Many times it's only because the fear of God is there that you will not do certain things. Take note, when your heart, your mind begins to take to places it should not go, it's only the fear of God that will make you call it back. Satan wants you to be a creature without boundaries. You can do anything you want. Anytime there is no gravity on your life, anytime there is no discipline in your life, then you have set yourself up. And very soon, Satan will come to claim you as his property. Remember, Satan came to contest for Moses' body. I've not finished the scripture. Where are we? All right. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Next verse. Many shall say to me in that day. Which day is that? The judgment seat of Christ. So this is one of the snapshots. It's a scenario in that place. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Because at this point you know, are you here? At this point you are convinced that these guys were actually born again. So what they were bringing to Jesus is what we call works. Works. Now, works as a result of the move of the Spirit. And the move of the Spirit is not because of you, it's because the Spirit wills so to move. That's what produces works. But the emphasis that will survive the judgment seat of Christ is not works but will. He said, did we not prophesy your name? That's works. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done wonderful what? Works. So they were quoting from the book of works, the chronicles of works. Because it was Jesus that said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Greater works than this shall you do because I go to the Father. So they quoted from the chronicles of works. But in this seat of justice, of judgment and equity, what matters is the will. Oh, I told you, with bleeding heart, with a bleeding heart, that my mentor began to sell prophecy. Is that not works? And I assure you, those prophecies are accurate. Are you following? So, those resources that came from God, he was using it to achieve another purpose which was not God's purpose. If that is possible. I've seen somebody that came into a meeting and he pointed to a damsel. Gave her a word of knowledge. They spoke about, in fact, the damsel began to cry. And the word of knowledge that he gave was his entry point into that damsel for that night. Hallelujah. The word of knowledge became a tool of entry. Whereas we need to do a long proposal to catch a damsel. The word of knowledge helped him out with all the details. So he quoted from the book of works, and works outside of the will are works without reference. They are activities without foundations. And the next statement is the one that is so fiery. Jesus said, Depart from me, I never knew you. This is the judgment seat of Christ. And somebody is receiving a lifetime rebuke. The first thing Jesus said is, depart from me. Like, I never knew you. You knew my name, but I never knew you. You walk iniquity. What's the meaning of iniquity? What? Don't say, whoa. That's not. What is iniquity? Iniquity. No, you are not with me. What? Perpetual sin. So, these guys, not just perpetual sin, but willing and consistent sin. So, he can use his money to buy sin. Use the anointing to create an atmosphere so that he can sing. So the works were still flowing. But he was far gone from the will of God. And in that judgment seat, what will count
It's the will of God.
When we do the teaching on the full salvation, that's when I'll be able to come back to this scripture and put this scripture within a certain context, and then you will see clearly. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And it's your calling that will form the factor that will determine your chances before his seat. Your calling is your meaning of your life in this time. It's also the factor. Your commitment to it, your faithfulness to it is also the factor that will influence the pendulum of justice before the judgment seat of Christ. A true man of the kingdom never forgets the day of judgment. Never forgets it. I see so much lasciviousness, especially young preachers that learned ministry from people that were already outside of alignment. You will notice that what is at work, sometimes you ask, is this the Holy Ghost at work? A young preacher fornicated with a lady and slapped her and said, speak in tongues. She spoke in tongues and said, the Holy Ghost is still there. This act now did not take the Holy Ghost away. That was extracurricular discipleship. He will give you time, but there is a place where you will meet him. And the only thing that is going to give you a pass before that seat, I hope you know, you'll be weak when you stand before him. This is your intelligence. You read physics in University of Agriculture. This one you are using to. You will even forget you read physics. The majesty that is before the personality, the immortal that we are talking about, if you see that majesty, physics will leave you. Physics will leave you. I've been privileged to see a glimpse of his glory. And people that understand the Bible know that until you breathe your last, you have not arrived. Next point. Oh, my time is already gone. Number four, your call is the covenant by which God does things upon the face of the earth. That means outside the callings that God gave men, God will not do anything on earth. He won't do anything. So God is depending on your call to have expression. So you break his heart when you become a rebel. Because that window of your calling was a window he had to take a shot at your family. At that time when he had prepared the family for 25 years for your coming. And your calling was going to be a window through which he can take a shot. And if he misses that window, it might take 150 years for him to find that window again. So people that know the kingdom, they don't look for a second chance. They strike it once. When I'm done with this life, I will not want to come back. Meanwhile, I knew a pastor, not pastor the congregation, and it was his secretary he slept with that he got HIV and he began to die. He didn't know on time, so the viral load had exploded heavy. And before he died, he was saying, God, give me another chance. I won't pray that prayer. Kingdom men don't lose sight of the journey. Be careful when you listen to that song that says, God of the second chance. Be careful. Study your Bible. You find that not. What's his name? Esau. You still remember him? I'm not looking for a second chance. I'm not trying to start again. If you want to be a man of the kingdom, you will know something called a cross. The devil will advertise pleasure. He will advertise fame. He will show you the potency of money. He will show you what you can become. If a little more influence comes into your life, many people are running after fame, running after money. They were not properly discipled. Suffering will not make me leave Jesus. Meanwhile, it's easier to manage poverty than to manage plenty. Poverty is inability. So that thing you are doing like piety and sanctimony is not confirmed. When a little more ability comes your way, we will know that that piety was just a way of managing your insufficiencies. It is when you have been delivered from that, that we'll know that your heart was right all the while. A kingdom man will use his influence. He will use his opportunity. He will use his talent. He will use his money. He will use his life to advance the cause of his master. Such are the ways of kingdom men. And unfortunately, Nigeria is like this, a tower of corruption. We end this identity because the church failed. Today, the prince of anti-corruption has been suspended. The prince himself. After 24 hours of interrogation, the structures that we put in place to check corruption were judged, set in the balances of Nigerian justice. Beveled justice. It was set in that balance. We end this name, this identity, because of the failure of the church. And it's very unfortunate because it's our elder brothers that created this situation. If you want to set things right now, they say, how old are you? Shut up. Our generation has a responsibility to set the record straight in ministry. So that if we to be known to, because God spoke to me that the prophecy of Paelti about Nigeria, how that Nigeria will become a haven of righteousness, he said will happen in our lifetime. You know, when you don't hear God, you won't know how to take your journey. Every one of us in this place and those that hear me online, if God gives you the opportunity to pastor two people, to run a fellowship in your house where seven people come, where 12 people gather, spend yourself to show them the ways of truth. God, the Bible says, has no restraint either to win with many or to conquer with few. It is you that judges that you just have few, but the quality of what you are doing will reach heaven. That was how the Philadelphian church was. They did not have the numerical strength, but they were a chapel of testimony. If you read the writings of Isaiah, you will find out that in the last days, God is going to adopt a new strategy. The strategy of the little sanctuary. Yes. We will need to raise many leaders because the church will have to fragment into little units. The Antichrist will make it impossible for most of our mega things to take place. And some of the things that are happening to nations now, some plagues that are visiting some nations, is just to give us time. But it is the strategy of the little sanctuary that we win the day in the days of the end of the age. That means we need to, in that strategy, everyone must be trained to become a leader. Everyone must be trained to become a spiritual person. Everyone must be trained to become an intercessor. Everyone must be trained to defend his faith and to be willing to die for it. And in little units, the purest manifestation of the Christian faith is going to find expression with brilliant light, brighter than the witness of John the Baptist, that Jesus himself called a burning and a shining light. The pendulum has shifted. The days of funfair, when we come to church to talk about business ideas, 12 business ideas that we can extract from John 3:16. Those days have passed. Now, the sons of Zion must be trained to understand what a call is. The call is older than you. It's even older than your seed. And it was a great, great privilege that God gave you when he assigned an assignment on your life, that through you he will do something upon the face of the earth. And the covenant of your call is the only window that God has to walk on earth. God never does anything on earth that is outside of a call. If he wants to fulfill and implement something, he concocts a calling, and he condemns a man to that calling. My time is up. But that day has come. If your assignment is to consecrate a place in your house and look for a prayer mat, and all the days that you live like Prophetess Anne, she didn't have a congregation, but in the privacy of her bedroom, she waited in prayer for the consolation of Israel. And she did that for 86 years. 86 years. Until Jesus was brought for dedication in the temple. She only married for 7 years from the time of her virginity. And from that time, she prayed and fasted. That was a description of her life. You will call it marginalization. That there were many things she could do. That was her calling. And she was faithful to it. It means that the giver of callings gave her the grace to be able to fulfill it. I know you will take off. Because you don't know him, you have not chosen him. You have not chosen Jesus. Because when you choose him, no burden will be too difficult for you to bear for him. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Listen to me. I took some time to study my Bible and to find out, okay, what does the afterlife look like? And how do we prepare for this afterlife? I found strange things. Strange things. The average believer is not ready for. God is counting on us. If your place is that quiet place of prayer, and God has given you one prayer point, to like Prophetess Anna, her prayer point was one prayer point for 86 years. And she was faithful. She was waiting for the consolation of Israel. She was waiting for the time that God's wrath will be settled, and God will show Israel mercy and bring the Messiah. That was our assignment. The scriptures did not tell us so much about Simeon. But the scriptures say that even death was banished from visiting his household, because he was chosen to be one of the ones that will do the honors when Jesus is brought into the temple. His eyes will see the salvation of God. Those guys were not living for anything else. But that doesn't mean they were not doing anything. Maybe they were farmers. That's what the society thought they were. They were. But they were gatekeepers. Custodians of secrets. And when they finished doing the things that the world felt they were doing, in their closets, they were somebody else. Paving the way for the coming of Jesus. You will notice that after that man saw Jesus, death will be able to take him. Because his life, the meaning of his life had ended that day. He himself prayed for death to come. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh my God. Oh my God. Christianity must be restored. How much food can you eat? How many women can you sleep with? If that's the reason why we are here. We are going to pray. We are going to pray that God will help us. Do you notice him? Give me a volume there. It pays to serve Jesus. I speak from my heart. We do our part. Serving the Lord. Have you ever thought about that man they call Shekau? That if someone had confronted him with the gospel of Jesus, we will have no Boko Haram. Those were grounds that were conceded to the enemy. A beast came out of it. If you fulfill your call and I fulfill my call, there are many beasts that will never rise. That's why we are here tonight. I'll serve him. I'll serve him. I'll serve him. Never before, how do I see reason? Whatever there comes, I will be a true soldier. Do you know the circumstances very well? If you, those of you that know it, take the mic and help me. I want you. I'm not saying everybody should sing it. Just hear the words. Hear it. It's a message. Give them the microphone. Let them sing. If you know the stanzas very well. Please, those of you in the congregation, just hear the words. Give them the microphones. Turn over the microphones to my friends that I'm inviting over. Do you people know all the stanzas? Okay, first and second. Come in. Oh, yeah, let's go.
I was when I'm tempted to turn from my child. I think of my Savior, my mind wanders far to the place where the guilty on Calvary tree. I heard the voice. I love him, my best.
Can you go ahead and convert that song to a prayer commitment right now? Let's go ahead as we receive grace for obedience from the very, very throne of God. Yes. Oh yes, oh yes. Can we receive grace? Receive grace, receive grace. Father, we receive grace from you. Grace and apostleship unto obedience to the will of God. Kamala Proto Sisa. Sezona Mahabara Asosielaha. Lord, we receive grace. We receive help from you tonight. Father, we ask you to help us. We turn back to you, O God. We receive help from your Spirit. Your will is what we have chosen to do. The direction you have given with your arms stretched out is where we are going to. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. Oh God, Kaparatwa, can we receive grace at the mighty man of David? That everything that has become an express intent of God, who will risk our lives, who will break through the garrisons of the devil, who will break through the limitations, who will break through the obstacles, who will break through every resistance of darkness, and will we accomplish the will of God? Kapatuna, Elekora, Azososa, Ezefiel. Lord, what is my life if it is not being poured out before you as a drink offering? Iklara kayele rota kaya amami ele rono miete na ha paile kukuka dayaite inoni eliriana mahabo paila kamaha. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, I will do as you bid me, whatever the cost, whatever the cost, no matter the cost. Oh God, cause me to rise up into the ranks of the overcomers, those who subdue kingdoms, those who punch down obstacles and resistances, only to plant the flag of the banner of my King. As what a sailor, Aragobe, Aragomena, Eswene, Yatana, Ambopo, Tilara, Zubietaya, Igogoni, Etemelama. Oh Jesus, Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'd like to encourage you. When you come to a place where there is a turn, a sharp turn in destiny, don't keep quiet. Don't say, I will go home and pray. Don't say, I know the prayer point. Pray when it matters. Pray when God is listening. There is a day of salvation. And in that day, God will hear. I like us to pray. If you listen to the message the apostle preached during the contact and then yesterday, he kept talking about the fact that Abraham was called at the age of 25. For there was that delayed obedience for 50 years. In that 50 years, he was becoming strong in another pattern of living. He was becoming solidified in a different way of life. So that going back from 75 to do the will of God will not be as easy as it would have been at 25, because some things of his humanity had made obedience difficult right now. Why will you give birth to a child out of wedlock before you start obeying God, where God can safeguard your feet to do his will from a state of innocency to a state of righteousness? I like us to pray and say, Father, I receive grace for prompt, immediate, complete obedience in the name of Jesus. I receive grace for instant obedience. Everybody, Jesus Christ called. The Bible says immediately. Matthew
people a tax office. Immediately, Peter and John, Andrew and James, the response they gave was response of immediacy. Can we pray and say, Lord, make me agile, make my feet and my hands feet, make me to spring forth into obedience. I will not wait. I will not wait. Oh Lord and Mother, Alaradoya, Eleberegoya. Oh Lord, we receive grace. Your will is our marching order. We want to do. We want to move when we have advantage of time on our side. Elabona me, ya 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 ya. Lord, you will have my life. You will have my lifetime. I give you not just my life, but also my lifetime to profit from. And I want it. And I want it. And I want it. But I am a raha. Oh God. Lord, we ask for grace as a generation, grace as a family, grace as individuals. Oh God, to arise into the fullness of obedience of your will. Anywhere there is a deficit of obedience, everywhere, oh God, there is a backlog of obedience. Lord, we ask for grace. We ask for help. Oh God, help us. Imataya, Epenwara Lano, Iziena, Iziena, Atolara. Our loving Father, that I need of you, our serving more truly than ever before. Our humanity, whatever the cost, I'll be a true soldier.
I don't know. Can we ask the Lord to give us other opportunities? A young man called and he said he has been listening to Apostle for the past 2 weeks and he wants to talk with Apostle. He wants to talk with Apostle. I told him what you have listened to has not driven you into prayer for 6 months. You want to talk with Apostle. If you meet Apostle, you will not gain from anything. We kept talking and I told him, the way you sound, you have lost several opportunities for discipleship in your life. Because he wants a man who is a great man to disciple him for that great destiny. It's only the grave they start digging from up. Every other thing starts on ground upward. If you have not learned to... God says something this evening that... I don't know if you heard it. That if God gives you opportunity to speak to two people, pour your life into it. Is a man who has learned faithfulness in little that can be entrusted with much. In the kingdom, men who are not tested and tried cannot be entrusted. Paul said the gospel was entrusted to him. God can trust him and give him the gospel and know that Paul will give it the way it was given. It takes time to rise up into trustworthiness. And we don't need to squander the opportunities for fine-tuning of our ways. Have you lost opportunities? Can you go ahead and pray and say, Lord, if I've lost any opportunity, any platform, because if you begin to pray for those 7 persons, God will begin to train you in carrying responsibilities. God will begin to train you in faithfulness. God will begin to train you in commitment. And those things can be squandered. Can you pray and say, Lord, I receive
give me another opportunity and help me, oh God, to make full proof of it. My song every day, my song. Oh, I pray every night. Oh, help us. Lord, we ask for help. Lord, help us in every way, in any way. Lord, help us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like us to be, you know, just sit down briefly. One of the things that we need as a generation, please, the offering basket can go around. If you are streaming this meeting and you are inclined to make an offering, please do use the details on display. One of the things that we need as a generation is a baptism of gravity. So that when God is speaking and God is serious, we will hear it as such. There was a day that David feared God because he was baptized into the fear of the Lord. He knew that the things that God says them the way he meant them, and he meant them the way he said them. I've been troubled in my heart this period, especially when our father talked about the fact that Moses went to the mountain just to seek the law from the mouth of God. And when he returned back, his assistant, his associates, they had converted and changed the congregation into a congregation of idol worshippers instead of those that worship Jehovah. And I was wondering, asking myself, what are those characteristics, ironic characteristics that we carry within us that the congregation can influence us instead of us influencing the congregation? If you're not a stubborn pastor, you cannot do the work of God. Because everybody in the congregation have an image they want to convert you into. They want the message to come in a particular way. I was thinking, and what they are thinking, you're already guilty and indicted in their heart. Simply because they thought that this should have been done like this. And that was one of the things I found out about Aaron. And it's been troubling for me. I pray that God will help us to see and hear and see not just what he said, but the seriousness attached to it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Welcome to church this evening once again. Hallelujah. Yesterday we had one of God's servants come all the way. He's a son in the house. Come all the way from the city of Uyo. The founding overseer of the Peace This Place. Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Joseph Jaffet, all the way from the city of Uyo. God bless you. I hope the road from this Naka Axe land you came to that place. It must have been really, really wobbling coming. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. And we also have tonight in the house Pastor Joseph Akogu, who is a pastor with Living Faith. Hallelujah. He listened to one of our God servants' message.
October last year, and he's been praying for 8 months. And after that 8 months of praying, the Lord asked him, he needs to come here. And while I was talking with him, he said, he doesn't know why he said, but he knows that he has to be here. He's the one I spoke to you about. One message has occasioned an 8 months of vigils every night for this period. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you for coming. And I'm sure we have quite a lot of pastors in the congregation. You are welcome in Jesus' name. Tomorrow's power and prophetic service is going to be an impartation service. Praise the Lord. And when God's servant spoke to me about the emphasis, it's really, really strange. It's going to be an impartation of faithfulness for service in the kingdom. Hello. Normally we want impartation of healing, anointing, impartation of what again? We want to see vision and all of that. But this one is only those who are ready for work that we have the requisite vessels to receive the kind of impartation coming. It's not for sitters. It's for runners. It was the sons of the prophet that told Elisha, I said, this place is too small for us. I'm expecting that after tomorrow's impartation, men will rise up into their ordinations. Those who begin to preach on the street, inviting people. Just imagine that we have up to 3-4 or more, the number of persons we have here listening to what God spoke to us today. Will it make a difference? Of course it will make a difference. There are some of your friends and parents and the rest that you have been struggling with. You are trying to explain to them. They are thinking because they know you that you are, you know, hallelujah people and all of that. Just invite them to come and hear direct. Your work will be reduced. Do you get that? So I'm hoping, I'm trusting God that after tomorrow's impartation meeting, which is going to be an impartation of grace, faithfulness for kingdom service, a lot of things will change in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we did announce, I think last on Sunday, or was it on Sunday or on Wednesday now, how that if you are interested in having yourself baptized in water, I am baptized twice, inside blue bucket and then inside river. The blue bucket where I attended catechism until I got tired. The day I was to be baptized, the person that baptized me, I don't know what he was doing with the woman. He rose up from there and came and baptized. That is when my confusion as a Christian began. Because, see the woman, everything is out. What are you doing close to this woman that... When we came, we were a distraction. He quickly used the bucket and poured water on her head and sent us. So after I gave my life to Christ, I wanted to be baptized, the original one. River Ankpa, I was baptized there. Hallelujah. So if you want baptism by immersion, not just sprinkling, okay? You want to be baptized as it is in Scripture, where you are buried together with Jesus Christ and then you rise together with Him. Please, that's Pastor Mike Teso. Wave your hands, all right? We baptized them. I baptized 19 persons this year before the lockdown. We went to a swimming pool at the Royal Choice Inn. We paid and we did had about 19 persons who were baptized. So in case you are interested in that baptism, give your full names and your contact number, active contact numbers to him. And then we'll arrange a class for you, probably this Saturday or this Sunday. And then we'll get the baptism done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you please rise? Just bless the Lord. Appreciate Him. Father, we thank You. We exalt You. For Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.